Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And here we are on another broadcast looking at the Gospel of Luke. And today we'll be looking at the story of the woman with the alabaster vial and how her sins were forgiven. Before that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your stories of grace and forgiveness towards us. We ask now that your word will minister to our hearts and our minds, that we might know the glory of God that shone through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we understand the very deep goodness of God towards us. Bless us now. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. And we'll be looking at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. And I'll read it out now, and then we'll get into finding out what Jesus was teaching. One of the Pharisees asked him, that's Jesus, to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and another 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he, that is Jesus, said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who was forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So what are the points that we've got to consider here today? It's a very simple story, and it can get into very complicated corners of it. Some people do, analysing all the motives of Simon. But he's not the centre of the story. It's the woman who's the centre of the story, and of course, Jesus. So this woman who has a terrible past of some sort, that she is a sinner, presumably we guess that she's been immoral in some way, and she has led this life, and she is very aware of what she's done, and she's broken by the life she's lived, and she knows that Jesus is there. And she comes to him confidently and starts bringing in this alabaster vial of very expensive perfume. She starts pouring it on him and weeping before him and drying her feet, the tears with her hair, and she's in a very emotional state, obviously. And she's seeking forgiveness. She knows that Jesus has grace and love about him, and she's confident to go and touch him in a way that many people would recoil from, having this woman suddenly start touching them and crying at their feet. A lot of people would say, "Oh, go away, go away." But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus accepts the woman and accepts the woman's gestures of love. And he knew that she loved him and that she knew that he was safe. So let's just start there. Jesus is accepting. Jesus is safe. Jesus is not pompous or critical. He doesn't say to me, to the woman, "Get away from me, you silly sinner." He doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't reject her in any way. He's extremely accepting of her because he could see that this is a woman in spiritual transition, that she wanted to be saved, that she wanted her sins forgiven, that she wanted to come to Jesus, and she wanted her life changed in an instant by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a woman in deep spiritual grief and need. Now, Simon the Pharisee felt no spiritual grief and need. He didn't bother to anoint Jesus. He didn't bother to even be courteous to Jesus by giving him a normal hug and a kiss, which is normal. It's not normal in the West to kiss someone, but in the East, in Jerusalem at that time, at those areas, it was normal. So Simon didn't even supply normal courtesy because he was proud, he was cold, he was distanced. He didn't think that he needed anything from God. He was not conscious of anything between him and God. He just thought, "I'll have this interesting prophet around to my house." Presumably he had a big house. Presumably he was a rich man and some thing. And, "Oh, I'll have this prophet over because he's interesting and he can come over to my house and entertain me." This seems to have been Simon's attitude. Remember in Luke chapter 18, it talks about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee says, "I thank you that I'm not like other people. And I do this, I do that, I tithe, and I fast twice a week," and so on and so on. And the tax gatherer, over on the other hand, says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the tax gatherer went away justified. He didn't even look up to heaven, just says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's the attitude that God wants. He wants us to humble ourselves before God and cry, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And that's exactly what this woman was doing. She knew she was sinful and she wanted mercy from God. She came to Jesus and she got mercy from God because this woman was fully aware of her spiritual needs. So you and I have to get out of our pride. We have to get out of the fact, "Oh, I don't need God. I'm fine. I'm respectable. I did well at school. I've done this and that and I've led a straight life." And we get proud. We get pompous. We don't think we need God. But of course we need God. Even the most together, brilliant person still needs God for salvation. We need to be born again. We need to go from darkness to light. We cannot do life on our own. And as we get older, we find out that life's very complicated. There are many challenges in marriage and raising kids and running a business and this and that. And we need God all the time. We need God 24/7, 365. We're to come to God with the attitude, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." It's not just the alcoholics. It's not just the drug addicts. And not just the people that have been through marriage after marriage that need mercy from God. It's ordinary, everyday people too. You and I need the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should cry out for it. And as the woman cried out for the mercy of God, she received the mercy of God. And this leads us to a deep spiritual principle. We only receive as much grace as we think we need. Here, Simon the Pharisee didn't think he needed any grace, and he got no grace at all. But the woman who knew she needed the grace of God was filled with the grace of God. So you only receive as much glory, grace, and help from God as you think you need. And let's just take the aspect of wisdom. Let's assume that you're born again. If you go to God and say, "Lord, I am foolish. I do not know how to go through this life. Please fill me with your wisdom. Help me to conduct myself wisely and respectably every day of my life. Give me wisdom for every situation I encounter, for I cannot live life without you. I cannot live life my own strength and my own wisdom." And you cry out to God for God's wisdom. Guess what? You will receive the very wisdom of God in your life and your heart, and you will lead a much better life than the person who is wise in his eyes or her eyes and who thinks they know everything and that they don't need the wisdom of God. Such a person will become a clattering fool. Such a person will make poor decisions. But if you trust God to guide you through life, if you cast yourself upon God, if you do not rely on your own understanding, then God will guide you through the world. You'll only get as much grace from God as you think you need, and you'll only get as much blessing from God as you think you need. Asking for blessing is not cheating. Asking for blessing is simply doing what the gospel tells you to do. You don't have to get through life on your own efforts. Life is not like that. You don't have to earn your way through life. God has given you grace. He's given you blessing. He will be gracious to you. He will multiply you. He will strengthen you. He will give you dominion over things if you think you need that. So go to God as a person with a heart full of need, crying out to God just as this woman did. The next part of it is, how much do we love God? Excuse me, how much do we love God? And Simon is given the parable of the two people, one that owed 500 denarii. A denarii is probably a day's wages. So 500 denarii is 500 days' wages in whatever country you're in. It's a lot of money. It's a year and a bit in terms of salary. And one owes 50 denarii. Who's going to love him? Well, the person that owes 500. And those of us who believe that we have a great debt in our life, we have a great debt before God, and God has taken that debt off our shoulders, that we are forgiven, if we have a perception of how much we've offended God, how much we owe to God, then we will love God more. And part of the way you become victorious in your Christian life is realizing how much you offended God while your sinful life before you were saved, how much you have fallen short of the glory of God, and then realizing that God loves you anyway. God loves you despite all your mistakes. Do not take God's love for granted. You did many selfish, stupid things. When we were sinners, we sinned. And all those offenses were piled up against us on the balances and would have sent us straight to hell if it was not for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to meditate on how much God has forgiven you, how much that God has done for you, how he has taken you through all the circumstances of your life, how he has wiped out your debts, how he has set you on high, how he has seated you in the heavenly realm, how much God has forgiven you. Do not think that you got to where you are now in the Christian life by your own effort. It was not your own effort. It was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ working in you and working for you. And we know that God loves those who are called according to his purpose, that God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And if you're to love God, you must realize how much God has done for you. You must look at the sin, the abyss of sin that you could have fallen into. Look around you at all those who have wasted their lives and say, Lord, thank you for saving me from that. I have the same sinful tendencies as any other man or any other woman. We all have these things that could have dragged us down into the pit of hell. And yet God has saved you. You're like the person that owes 500 denarii. You owe a great deal to God. You owe more than you can ever pay. And God has chosen to forgive you because he wants you in heaven, not because you are special, not because you have anything worthy, but there are many, many very sinful and wicked people that God has led into heaven after forgiving their sins because they cried out to him for mercy. And you should be always conscious of the great goodness and mercy of God towards you. For he has saved you, and he has saved you out of the fire of hell. He has saved you out of eternal death. He has saved you from quietly going mad under the weight of your own sins. He has saved you from the kingdom of darkness, and he has transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And you should think about this very deeply, because you need to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. You must not take your salvation for granted. You must not say, oh, well, God saved me. That was a good thing. I walked down the sawdust trail in the tent and prayed a little prayer, and that's it, and that's all I had to do. No, what happened when you prayed that prayer? What happened when you cast your life on Jesus? Your terrible weight of sin was taken off you, and it was placed on the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to this earth from all the glory of heaven to bear your sins, so that you might go free. Do not presume on that. Do not take the blood of Jesus Christ lightly. Remember that God has come to forgive you and to bless you. Love God because he has forgiven you your sins. And look at the weight of your sins and say, that was awful, that was terrible, I was rebellious in this way and that. And even if you weren't rebellious in dramatic ways, you may have been rebellious in quiet ways. You might have had a critical spirit or a bad temper. But whatever happens, you need to turn to God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving all my sins, as bad as they were, and this woman's sins were bad. Everyone recognized her as a sinner. But God said, you're a sinner now, but soon you're going to be a saint. And you're going to be in the Bible. And you're going to be remembered for thousands of years of history. Because you cried out to Jesus for mercy. You believed in Jesus. You wiped his feet with your tears and with your hair. You anointed him with oil. You showed love for the Lord. And so your love for the Lord will be remembered throughout history and preached on in many churches. And so this sinful woman became a great saint of God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the thing continues on here. So Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. She gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Well, here's some big ideas here. Firstly, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. Jesus didn't excuse her. He didn't say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. He said, your sins, which are many. He pointed out the obvious fact. He knew all about her sin and decided to forgive them because this woman loved God, loved Jesus. Because of her love, because of her crying out to God, her many sins were forgiven. And if you have many sins, Jesus will forgive you as well. Do not say, oh, my sins are too many. God cannot forgive me. Jesus says, your sins are many, but I forgive you. That's what he said. He recognized the situation. He was not overwhelmed by the weight of her sin. And if you have many sins in your life, Jesus will say the same things. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. And you don't have to rationalize it. You don't have to excuse it. You don't have to plead it was this or that. Jesus will just wipe the slate clean. He will wipe it clean and your sins will be as if they had never existed. They will be blotted out because God forgives those who sin when they come to him for salvation, when they pour out their hearts in love towards God, as this woman did. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. As you love God much, as you pour out your heart to God, then God sees that and blesses you, and your love for God will ensure that your sins are forgiven. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And we talked about that, about Simon. He couldn't see any faults in himself. And he was not forgiven much. He didn't think he had much to be forgiven. He didn't think he needed much grace. And so he loved very little. But we're not going to focus on him. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Who is this that even forgives sins? So here Jesus is declaring himself to be God. Because only God can forgive sins. And he's declaring himself greater than the priesthood, greater than the high priest, greater than all the temple sacrifices. Here is someone who simply forgives sins, and he says, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Jesus himself, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God incarnate, the glory of God in human flesh, the fullness of deity in bodily form, he forgives sins. Jesus gave the power to forgive sins also to those who follow him. And he talks to the apostles in the upper room and he says, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And so God forgives sins and he gives the power to forgive sins to those who follow him in purity and in truth. And forgiving sins is a high and mighty duty of us. We are to take the burden of sin and of condemnation off people's lives. And we are to tell those who have been born again, those who have trusted in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. I tell you in the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven because you have turned from darkness to light, because you have decided to love God, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus ultimately is the one who forgives sins, and we turn to him for forgiveness from sin. So here was someone different. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a prophet who could forgive the sins of any who came to him. And Jesus will forgive your sins if you come to him. If you go to Jesus, he will take you out of darkness and into the light. He will take you out of your grief and your pain into the beautiful presence of God. God wants you to stand pure and holy and blameless before him. For that to happen, he has to wipe away your sins as a cloud. He has to wash them as white as snow. So God will do that. He will throw your sins behind his back. He will forget about them, and you will be condemned no more, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You will have no condemnation upon you no matter what you have done in your life. That seems crazy, but that's true, because that's God's plan and God's purpose for you, is to be forgiven of your sins. And it is Jesus who can do that. And this was a new thing for the people. They never heard anyone say anything like that. They were astonished. Who is this that can forgive sins? Well, what is the basis of forgiving sins? That's the next phrase. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Her faith in Jesus, her trust in Jesus as the one who was kind and loving, as the one who was the Son of God, as the one who had the answer to her spiritual problems. That faith, though probably ill-defined, was enough. It was mustard seed faith. It was the faith in Jesus and who she knew, who could sense his love, his grace, his healing, his deep acceptance of her. This Jesus said to her, your sins which are many are forgiven. And she believed in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and she was saved. Her faith had saved her. Go in peace. And the word peace comes from the Hebrew shalom. It means go and live a life of wholeness of grace. You're okay. You're not under the judgment and wrath of God anymore. You've come out of the wrath of God. You now stand in the peace of God and the grace of God by faith alone. And that's Romans chapter 5. We stand in this peace which he has granted us by grace. You will stand not in the wrath of God, but in the peace of God, reconciled with God by faith. You have to believe. It is your faith that God is looking for. As we saw in the last program where we were talking about the centurion, Jesus looked at the centurion and he said, I've not seen such great faith in Israel. Jesus is looking for your faith, and your faith will save you. Your faith will give you healing. Your faith will get you salvation. Your faith will change your life. You just have to believe. Put away your unbelief. Put away your skepticism. Put away your doubt. And decide that you're going to believe in Jesus. You're going to be one of those that gets born again. You're going to trust God. You're going to believe God. You're going to believe what it says in the Bible. And you're going to trust that God is good, that God has a good plan for your life, that God wants you in heaven, and that God wants your life fixed. God doesn't want you to live in misery. Rather, God wants you to be saved and to be with him in heaven and to be seated in heavenly realms with him. This is the God who loves you. And I want you today to believe in Jesus. Your faith has saved you. Do you want to be saved? Believe. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God wants you saved. Believe that if you cry out to God for mercy, he will be merciful to you. Believe that when you cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, your prayer will be answered, because God hears the cry of sinful people. God hears the cry of sinful people who want to believe in him, who want to love him and want to have eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Do you want God's answer to your life? Then believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Put away your sins, turn away from your old life, cry out to God, and you will be forgiven, just as this woman was forgiven, for her sins, which were many, were forgiven. Why? Because she loved God, and because she had faith. Go and decide to believe in Jesus. Believe in God with your whole heart. Turn your heart toward Jesus now, away from yourself, away from the world, away from the things that tempt you, and say, yes, I shall believe. I will not put my heart on the things of this world. I will not go ahead with my sins. I will decide, I will believe, I will receive, and I want you to receive Jesus Christ into your heart right now. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you want to be saved, just pray with me the following. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sins. Make me new. Make me into a Christian. Fill me with the Holy Spirit for the glory of your name. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray that again. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sins. Make me new. Make me into a Christian. Set your Holy Spirit in my heart, that I might glorify your name forever. Save me, Lord Jesus, right now. I cast myself on you. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, for he is your Lord and Savior. And as you love him and as you believe on him, you will be saved. And God will say to you, go in peace, my brother. Go in peace, my sister. And the peace of God will come into your heart. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will bless you in Christ Jesus. Be blessed by believing in Jesus. Be blessed by loving God. Be blessed by turning from your sin. And love God, who forgives you from all iniquity and is going to raise you up in this life and in the next. And you will have his eternal life guiding you forever. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.